Good morning, everybody. I'm here with
Simon and Connor,
and we're going to be talking about the Puget Sound cleanup, some of the issues we're facing, some of the solutions that we have for tackling this issue. So I'll just start with you, Connor. What do you think are some of the biggest challenges facing the Puget Sound as far as cleanup efforts go? And what are some possible solutions or ways you think we could address it?
One of the most significant challenges facing cleanup efforts in Puget Sound is the vast amount and variety of pollutants present in the water. Pollution comes from many sources, including storm runoff, wastewater treatment plants, industrial discharges, and agriculture runoff. And additionally, the Puget Sound region is home to over 4 million people, and their daily activities contribute to the pollution problem, which overall addressing the challenges facing Puget Sound cleanup efforts will require coordinated effort from all stakeholders, including governments, businesses, and individuals. And by working together and implementing a comprehensive and collaborative approach, it is possible to protect this valuable ecosystem for future generations. The next question I'll be asking is, what are some of the possible ways technology could be used in cleaning up the Puget Sound?
Yeah, so the first one that I found is monitoring and early warning systems. Technological solutions such as real-time water quality monitoring systems can help identify and detect pollutants early, enabling quick and effective intervention to prevent further damage. There are also innovative filtration systems. These are filtration systems that use nanotechnology, activated carbon, and other techniques that can help remove these pollutants from the water. And finally is coastal restoration. Technology can also be used to restore damaged coastal ecosystems, which can help reduce the impact of pollutants in the Puget Sound. Next, Tyler, how can we approach the issue of contaminated sediments in Puget Sound, and what strategies can be used to remove or mitigate them?
So contamination in the Puget Sound, as far as sediment, is kind of a big issue because it's not as easy as, filtering the water, that kind of stuff. A lot of the main sediments, contaminants in the sediments are PCBs and PAHs or PAHs. It's polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons and polychlorinated biphenyls. Those are both man-made products. Connor kind of touched on it earlier as far as a lot of this stuff kind of gets into the Puget Sound through like stormwater runoff and that kind of stuff. As far as kind of reducing it or mitigating it, there's a few different things we could do. One of them is dredging, which is basically just taking the top layer of the sediment out of the Puget Sound and essentially filtering it. I don't think that would necessarily be the best way because it can cause a lot of issues with like harming the sea life and the ecosystem in that kind of way. It's kind of very hands-on. Another interesting thing I saw as far as reducing and removing some of the contaminations is bioretention. And it's basically where you're just introducing native species and specific plants to the Puget Sound area, and they kind of work as a natural filtration system to kind of pull some of those contaminants out of the sediment. And obviously, with all that being said, we can do stuff to remove the pollutants that are in there right now, but the bigger issue is addressing the causes of that pollution in the first place and kind of reducing that. I feel like that's probably the first place we should start. But for Connor, what roles do you think businesses and industry should play in cleaning up the Puget Sound, and how would you work with those businesses to kind of achieve this?
Well, businesses and industries play a huge role in cleaning up the Puget Sound. They are often the source of pollutants such as industrial waste and storm runoff, water runoff, as I said before. And they can also be a part of the solution by adopting sustainable practices and technologies. To work with these businesses and industries to achieve cleaner Puget Sound, it is important to establish partnerships and collaborations that encourage them to reduce their environmental impact, which, for example, the government can provide incentives for businesses to adopt sustainable practices such as tax breaks or grants for the installation of pollution-reducing technologies. And they can also enforce regulations that limit the amount of pollutants that businesses and industries can discharge into the water. Simon, how do you measure the success of cleanup efforts and what metrics could you use?
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways. First up is water quality indicators. This is pretty basic way. These are measures of physical, chemical, and biological characteristics of water that reflect its overall health and condition. Some examples of these water quality indicators include dissolved oxygen levels, pH, temperature, turbidity, and nutrient levels. Monitoring these indicators can provide insight into the effectiveness of pollution reduction strategies. Next is reduction in pollution levels. Measuring the levels of pollutants in the water before and after cleanup attempts can help determine whether the strategies that are used are effective. Some examples of pollutants that can be monitored include nutrients, metals, and organic compounds, and microplastics. Lastly, is biodiversity and ecosystem health. Measuring the diversity and abundance of different species in the Puget Sound and the overall health of the ecosystem can provide insight into the effectiveness of cleanup efforts. Improvements in biodiversity and ecosystem health can indicate that the strategies used are successful in reducing pollution. Next up, Tyler, what steps can we take to engage and educate the public about the contamination in the Puget Sound?
So education is going to be a really important aspect to the solution of the contamination of the Puget Sound. You know, nobody's really going to fight for a change, or nobody's going to care about implementing any of the solutions we've kind of discussed today if they don't know it's an issue to begin with. And there's a lot of different ways we can engage and educate the public. We can engage and educate the public through a variety of technical and communication strategies, like interactive web-based tools is one aspect, one method we could kind of push the information out there and actually get some kind of interactive aspect with some of the people. In addition to that, we could also do like information sources like websites and stuff to display the data on water quality and some of the pollution sources. And I know some of that issue, some of that information is already kind of out there on like the ecology websites and stuff for Washington. But, you know, maybe if we could just make it a little bit more easily accessible and you don't have to kind of sort through all that information on those government websites, it might be a little bit easier for people to look at that. In addition, you know, social media is a really good platform for kind of sending out messages and educating the public. So that's also something that we could try and pursue when it comes to educating and kind of engaging the public about the contamination in the Puget Sound. Also, education, like outreach, educational outreaches. So if we could kind of partner with any kind of local organizations or groups whose mission it is to clean up the Puget Sound or, you know, improve the environment around here more broadly. You know, we might be able to cooperate with schools and stuff to have people have guest speakers come in and, you know, do that kind of stuff to educate the younger generation, just so they kind of have more exposure to it now when they're younger and they can think about it more as they're growing up. But that's all I have. I don't know if you guys have anything else, any other questions?
I think that's pretty much it. Those are kind of some of the problems that we're currently facing in the Puget Sound and just some solutions and possible fixes that we thought of. But thank you, everyone, for listening.
Awesome. Yeah. Have a good one.
All right. Yeah, that was like 10 minutes.